Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It's a fierce hot Thursday in August on Greenig Spalpen at Lough. We are roasted out of it. The oxters are burnt off us. The stones are split and even the water hens are parched, I presume. How are you faring out there? You're on the third cut of silage, maybe the fourth, taking in the straw, whatever you're doing. British Bay, I'd say, hasn't seen a dry robe in a week. That's the sort of conditions we have. If you're listening from abroad, just to let you know, the WhatsApp is open. 087 032 32 32. And for your longer letters, you can always email oliver@rte.ie. Tara is jock and have the crack. A kind of a very serious show for you today in some ways, because we're meeting a heavyweight of Irish culture and writing this morning. Marina Carr, you know her because she is one of the most successful and celebrated playwrights here, and they know her very well everywhere and appreciate her around the world, especially in London. If we were into that sort of thing, she'd be Dame Marina Carr here now by now, would she? But we're not into that sort of thing. So, and she's bringing an epic tale from Greek mythology to the Abbey Theatre next, The Boy, which is a very anticipated world premiere that's happening in September. And I'd say no doubt about it, when Marina was growing up in Offaly, she was only thinking about Sophocles, because that's everyone in Offaly. That's what they think day to day, that the turf ricks and the Greek tragedies just go hand in hand. And as a young one, she's staging plays. So I'm very excited to meet Marina Carr this morning. 51551 is the text. Well, I can tell you the news sites and the media everywhere, it's all about the heat waves here. And well, it's not officially a heat wave at all, but Ireland will be basking in Mediterranean-like heat over the next 5 days. Is now, we can only forecast 5 days out, but we can tell that it's going to be beautiful for the next 5 days. Temperatures are going to exceed 27 degrees in places at the weekend. But of course, the warm, dry summer is causing headaches for the local authorities and the water providers nationwide. 31 catchment areas of Irish Water, Uisce Éireann, are now being monitored for low water supplies. 12 counties are officially in drought status, and we have the prospect of only 3 days of rainfall being forecast between now and the 1st of September. And so good weather. It's unlikely, though, that it will be officially a heatwave, which requires 5 days of temperatures, 5 days in a row of temperatures 25 degrees or above. Cooler today, temperatures for 24 degrees, you just heard. That's some 25 in some places. That's going to dampen the heatwave hopes, no doubt. But some areas now 37% below the normal rainfall levels. And Uisce Éireann are using water tankers to replenish supplies in some of the reservoirs in the south and the east. This kind of goes back. The heatwave, it's very quickly turned to gloom in the news media, hasn't it? I mean, you've got the Asian hornet arriving into the country as well, down in Cork, to eat our bees. I mean, the far right must be beside themselves over that one. Hashtag get them out. But they don't believe in scientists and science, so maybe they wouldn't really be into that whole biodiversity disaster that's going on. But look, 40% of all our water leaks into the ground. This is why they wanted the water charges 10 years ago. But instead, we got Irish Water and Uisce Éireann, as they call themselves now, so that we don't remind ourselves of the unpleasantness back in 2014 in the protests. Back then, I was looking up, 46% of our water was lost to leaks. And so now they've kind of improved things to a 40% level, which is still, it's bad. You know, it's 40%, but it still means we drought conditions very, very quickly. They are funded to the tune of €1 billion a year from taxes. So even with that amount of work going on, and there's huge extra fund, isn't there? We still just have the problem of the water leaking into the ground. That's just the Irish Water side of things, not your local water schemes and so on. I don't know how they're faring at the moment. You rarely hear, do you, about drought and the local water schemes. Why would that be? Who would know? Now, yesterday, you remember we were mentioning moves in England to introduce a maximum heat at work legislation. So you down tools in certain manual labour when it hits, I think, 27 degrees. And I got kind of thinking about the worst jobs to have when the sun is out and you have this hot, humid weather day and night at the moment. Now, even in our little team here, somebody was working as a kitchen porter during a heatwave, said that was an absolute form of torture. Kitchen porter, they clean up after the chefs and the people doing the cooking. So they're in the hot place the whole time, cleaning things with hot steam, and then handing the hot things back to the chefs. I mean, the steam trebles the heat from the dishwasher, and then the baking sun means that when they have to go outside, the food bins are there and you've got this swarm of flies and the unmistakable and unmissable smell, which I'd say they go by smells on the street and go straight back into the hot kitchen of a summer job past. I worked in the Newermore Hotel in Carrickmacross, which delighted to say is reopening again this after the summer. For many weddings that went through the summer, and as people who've done the dishes will remember, just there's the hot things that come back in with all the food stuck. There's the scorching hot water to rinse them off. Then it goes through the giant machine. And then immediately on the other side of the machine, it's so hot they just like dry instantly, but they're scorching to your hands. And then we needed to go out onto the floor and serve people the odd time. So you had to keep the horrible outfits they make you wear, service staff, with the long sleeves and brassy buttons. And it was a four. And a plastic apron at the dishwasher. Can you imagine? And someone else actually, the team worked turning over rooms in the hotel, the accommodation services, as they call it in that nice name. But really, you're in rooms where the windows barely open, do they, for the fresh air. And you're dressing hundreds of beds per day. And then the heat wave arrives. It's worse than ever. And I presume there's laundry rooms. There used to be in hotels years ago. They have some places as well. Absolutely boiling. In fact, that whole corridor is usually boiling. Someone else worked on the fast food chain, standing in front of the open flames of an 8-ring hob. Hard enough any other day of the week, but when it's 25 degrees out and people are arriving in cranky and hungry as well, that's a disaster. The Guardian also has some other, what they say are torturous jobs this time of the year and when these conditions happen. Road surface contractor, the people putting out the tar. Asphalt has to cool naturally, which of course takes a lot longer in hot weather, and you can't save it for later. So as soon as you start laying it out, the tarmac will get brittle. So you just have to get on with it. Boiling hot tar pouring onto the road and boiling all around you. A zookeeper's job. I thought this would be a cool one, but of course that they have to deal with what the animals do in the zoo, and all the insects and bugs attracted by the smells. It gets a bit gross. They also mention children's characters. Of course, it makes sense because summer is the time when you're bringing your kids around to theme parks and parties and festivals and so on. And somebody is in a gigantic costume with a big fake head, no access to fresh air apart from that little meshy thing that they're barely conscious in behind. And then the kids, of course, like to run over and they're cranky too and punch the children's. It's just pretty dreadful. But there must be some good jobs out there. I mean, definitely working in a museum, I would assume, is lovely. They're in a nice air-controlled environment because you've got to keep masterpieces protected and so on. And the fewer people go into the museum, so you can kind of stroll around in that lovely cool air. Supermarkets are a good place to be because we know when we go in with our shorts and a T-shirt, you're suddenly frozen because it's just acres of fridges. And it's a good place to be, although I think under new rules, they're all closed off now, aren't the fridges? They're doors. So if you're working in a supermarket, you'll be just taking a little bit longer to stock the freezer. I'd imagine on that day. I'm also thinking back to our trip in the northwest a couple of weeks ago, and those surf instructors who are now spending their days on the beach and the lovely shallow waters and possibly getting a breeze and so on. Farming can also be nice this time of the year as well. You're outside and get a bit of shade under the trees, although in your tractors and so on. 51551 is the text. We are thinking of the running around service staff in their stiff, hot, tweedy often staff costumes that you have to wear in the serving tables and whatnot in this bleeding, scorching weather. Scorchio. Particularly at weddings, loads of weddings going on, which are good fun for us. But imagine working at them, not that was roasted out of it. Someone said, spare a thought for those working in a dry cleaners. Of course, says Maura, that's always boiling. It's always nice in the wintertime, isn't it? Going to a dry cleaners, but not so much happy now. Anne says, it's a damp morning in Limerick after some heavy rain. So it's not all scorching. That'll burn off, Anne. That'll burn off. That's only momentary showers at the minute. Someone says, it's beautifully cool in Sligo. And with our wonderful local water scheme, which of course they pay for, not a sign of drought, says Marion. Yes, there are local water schemes because, of course, we built bungalows all around the country and the rural electrics brought everything. But then suddenly the wells are not terribly reliable. So they got together and they created their own paid for water charges. How they laughed during the water protests 11 years ago, some of them. What else is going on in the world to distract us from all of this gloomy version of the heatwave. Ronaldo, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Georgina Rodriguez got engaged the other day, but in the aftermath, which is now landing, it is that enormous diamond perched on Miss Rodriguez's finger that is everyone talking. Her Instagram post showed they've been together a very long time now. Since 2016, he met her at a Gucci store in Madrid where she was working at the time. He's 40, she's 31 years of age, and she shared a photo of the gigantic rock on her ring finger. Immediately, this oval cut ring has had people talking. Some are sort of comparing the diamond to the American ring pop, which is kind of a thing, the lollipop candy, which I think you can still get here, unless the EU has banned certain colours that they used to use. Other people saying it's probably so expensive it could save world hunger. To wear this stone jewellery regularly, you're going to need a finger reconstruction surgery, says a social media person who focuses on jewellery. So basically, imagine wearing a £100 kettlebell on your finger all day, every day. Maybe it's worth it, but it'll be painful. Of course, Ronaldo and herself. He's a very modest man, Ronaldo. He wears enough hair gel that you could stick him to the ceiling, basically. And actually, I'm thinking in this weather, Ronaldo would come in handy walking through a room, because he'd be like flypaper, wouldn't he? He'd just gather all the insects and be just stuck. His head would just be a fly trap. Be superb. Anyway, they're saying a very modest man decided to just have a nice, quiet engagement. A specialist at 77 Diamonds, a retailer based in London, says she was surprised to see a diamond ring that huge. She estimates it's a total weight of 35 carat diamond, worth at least $5 million, said it looks very similar to Mariah Carey's 35-carat emerald. She did an engagement ring in 2016 from her billionaire ex-fiancé, James Packer. Also, it reminds her, Anya Walsh, this woman is, she has to have an Irish connection in London, of Elizabeth Taylor's 33-carat stone ring, which was gifted to her by her ex, on again, off again, Richard Burton, in 1968. That ring, by the way, sold for nearly $9 million. In 2011. Extraordinary. Ronaldo is also the most followed person on Instagram. He has 660 million followers. And because of that level of fame and his influence on men around the world, the trends on engagement rings are going to shift because of this moment. And they're already spotting an uptick in oval diamonds. It's already the second most popular diamond ring in London at the minute. Will people want those kind of larger diamonds? So men planning to propose, get ready to shop for egg-shaped engagement rings. It's all changed. But don't worry, vulgarity, boom, boom culture, me, me, me. It's all really hot right now, thanks to Bezos and Trump and everybody else. Public engagements and Instagram weddings. Fur coats will be back next, and the pinstripe and elderly men in convertible cars in the sunlight. It's all in. It's like, not saying it in a judgmental way, that's, we're all for it at the minute. Just paint your house in glitter. You know, the sort of Dancing with the Stars outfit is now suitable for breakfast. That's the world we live in right now. Someone's on to us. Angela says, I worked in a hotel at the border in the 90s. We would serve tea and coffee to the wedding guests in the glass conservatory. On a hot day, you would be melted in the heat. Everybody involved in that with pure. You're always dying for a cup of tea, no matter what time of the year it is. And then you're wondering, why am I sweating? Oh, so I've just had tea in a heat wave. Yes. If you want a cool, peaceful place to visit, how about a church? Of course, usually almost empty. And if you light a candle for humanity and breathe in and out slowly, it can be refreshing even for a few minutes. No praying or religious faith even required, says Pat, which is a beautiful place to hang out. Yeah, it's always very cool. And you won't hear the cacophonous sound of the summer outside. Being a roofer. Using black slates and black asphalt, soaking up the rays, frying you from above and frying you from below. What about their freezing wind or the wind-driven wet winter days? Probably dreaming of them, I suppose, says John in D4. That reminds me of the Shawshank Redemption scene where they're tarring the roof in the scorching heat and they have that lovely moment of peace just before all the grim happens again, where they get the... Is it Rolling Rock, I think, is the endorsement brand in the buckets of ice and so on. Yes. That'd be nice, all right, wouldn't it? Now, unfortunately, that brings me to America again. Your man over beyond has been doing everything he can to stop Jeffrey Epstein and his alleged association with him, no evidence of it. Returning back to the headlines, I mean, he's done everything. He sent the National Guard into Washington DC over a wholly imaginary crime wave that isn't happening there, threatening to do the same to other cities which are run by Democrats and, incidentally, black mayors. I wonder why he would be focusing on those. He's let Robert F. Kennedy strip $500 million from scientific research in the country that develops almost all of the life-saving medicines for the entire world. Yesterday, he announced he's going to host the Kennedy Center Honours this year personally. Usually some cultural figure, an actor, somebody does that. But no, President Trump is going to do it himself, having taken over the National Cultural Center and removed anyone he perceives as woke. It's what every president does, let's face it. They strip the board and put their own people in. But his Kennedy Center honors, he's going to give one to MAGA fan Sylvester Stallone. He's going to host the ceremony himself, which I presume will take 10 hours to do. What else has he done to distract from everything that's going on? He went for a little walk. Remember that, on the roof of the White House last week for no reason whatsoever. And he's just standing on the roof. And that's just normal. But now the First Lady has ruined everything. Melania Trump has threatened to sue. She is saying she's going to sue Hunter Biden, son of the former President Joe, for $1 billion over his Epstein claims. He claimed she was introduced to Donald Trump by the sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, and lawyers acting on her behalf say this is a false, disparaging, defamatory and inflammatory claim. They've been together 20 years now, Melania and Donald. She wants $1 billion over this. So what did Hunter Biden basically gave an interview early this month. We played a clip of it actually at the time. He said lots of things, but he criticised Trump, particularly in his former ties to Epstein. Trump was a friend of Jeffrey Epstein, but he said they fell out over nearly 20 years ago because the financier had poached employees who worked at the spa in his golf club. It's one of the maddest things that happened in the last month. But anyway, in this interview, he said Epstein introduced Melania to Trump and the connections are wide and deep. And so the First Lady's lawyers are saying he's basing this entirely on Michael Wolff, who's a guy who wrote a critical biography of the president. And Wolff said this in the US outlet, The Daily Beast. And they've since removed that from their website after threatening letters as well. There is no evidence, basically, that the pair were introduced to each other by Epstein. And from Melania Trump and her books and various interviews, she's given different versions of how they've met. It was like a blind date kind of thing. It's changed over the years. The BBC's anyway running the story. They've contacted Hunter Biden's attorney. Haven't heard anything back yet. But this comes, of course, weeks after weeks of pressure on the White House to release the so-called Epstein files, which his Attorney General Pam Bondi said she had on her desk in February. And now they're saying they don't exist. And they've whipped their own people into this. And the MAGA fans are furious with Trump about this. And they kind of slightly forgot about it for a time. And now she's put it back into the headlines again. Will be some strongly worded texts, will there, to each other, if they even contact each other between the Monday to Friday. Leonardo DiCaprio's in the news. He rarely gives interviews, DiCaprio. He's 50 years of age now, one of cinema's most famous people ever. And he's given an interview because he is doing a film with Paul Thomas Anderson, an auteur filmmaker who made things like There Will Be Blood, Phantom Thread. I got Daniel Day-Lewis out of retirement, slightly to do that. And now he's back into retirement again. Although he's coming out of retirement to do something with his son. And Master as well, which was an AI film with Joaquin Phoenix. Kind of a wacky film, but kind of portend a lot of what was to come. DiCaprio was talking about, does he feel like 50 years? No, he feels like he's 32 years of age, basically. He feels no older than 32. He has admitted, unlike, was it Mariah Carey says she doesn't believe in time the other day? Yes, she doesn't believe in time. DiCaprio saying, no, I am 50. I just kind of have a different perspective on life. It creates a feeling, leave a desire to be more honest, not waste your time. I look at my mother, for example, and she just says exactly what she thinks. She wastes no time. She spends no time trying to fake it. And he's talking about, because of course he slagged quite a lot for going out with younger women. He's been dating Vittoria Cerretti since 2023. She's 27. He's 50. That's nothing in these day and age with the tech titans and so on. And also, he reveals that he rarely watches any of his films. The only one that he has seen the most is, and I bet it's your favourite DiCaprio film, The Aviator from 2004, the Martin Scorsese directed a biopic of Howard Hughes, where he is show me all the blueprints, love it. Should have got the Oscar, was robbed, didn't get it. And that's what he's saying. But he's saying that he also turned down Boogie Nights, the lead, which Paul Thomas Anderson also made. And so he's delighted to do the new one that's coming out, which is One Day After Another, I think, from the top of my head. Why isn't it here in this article? It's not there. But anyway, DiCaprio's doing one of his rare things. Back to jobs in the warm weather. Firefighters. It's not nice fighting fires in heavy coats and leggings, boots and a helmet, even outdoors. I was talking to a fire officer above in Monaghan only recently. I said, sure, you'd have nothing to do with this time of the year, would you? And he said, oh, bales of straw and trailer loads bursting into flames. And I thought that was a thing from years ago when you had the old tractors and sparks coming out of the exhaust. And he says, no, and they don't really know the reason for why they're spontaneously bursting into flames in the middle of the road. But it happens very quickly, particularly in these conditions, and there's a bit of wind at all. They're very busy, very busy. Someone else says, I worked on a roadside food stall in Jamaica for a few days, unpaid work a couple of years ago. It was 38 degrees and it was hot roasting breadfruit on the roadside. But he adds, it was brilliant fun, says Simon. He saw the upside in that. Someone says, when the hairdressers yesterday, it was hot, says Roisin. Yes, the hairdresser is dealing with the hot weather and if, depending where the sun gets roasted out of it. We're very lucky on the side of the radio centre. The sun never shines on our side. They're roasted out of it in 2FM. Boiled, even in the winter time. It's glass everywhere from a listed building. There's a text in from our friend of the show, Robert, living in Galicia. And he's now in our fifth month of above 37 degrees in the daytime. They're getting very used to it. We'll be on in Spain. The last 5 days have been above 40, non-stop 40 degrees. Yesterday was 42 degrees where he lives. And he was smiling when he said about the heat wave and also rain in parts of Ireland. Rain, he says, would just be lovely. His lawns would love it because he's looking after lawns, doing up houses for accommodation, everything. How are you, Robert? Buenos dias. And how was the farm with you over beyond? Sure, wear a string vest and eat crisps, as we discovered was the recommendation from the 70s. Don't try that anymore. Put salt on a tomato, actually, as we're eating, is the modern update to that. I worked as a chambermaid in the London Hotel in the late 80s. Did they call it that, even in the 80s? 6 days a week for £20. But how far did that £20 go in the 80s? The heat nearly killed me. I decided then if I could ever afford to stay in a hotel, I would leave a tip and say a thank you note in the room when leaving. Nearly 40 years later, I never forget to do so. Says Noreen, that is a very nice gesture to do. I know the Americans do that in Ireland all the time. They send little lovely notes. But I don't think it's in our, because we don't have the tipping culture for everything in this country, do we? 51551 is the text model. I must get on with things this morning. We'll have to give you some music that gives you a taste of the weather that we're enjoying. The Beach Boys. Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday. You'll remember that from the movie Cocktail, 1988. Kokomo and the Beach Boys, of course. It's a lovely, it just washes you with the summer sun. It's very warm around the country, but we are getting reports of rainfall. Many, many reports of showers. It's raining in Clonmel, basically, at the minute. There, that's what's happening there. Thank you for that update, Siobhan. And there'll be bits of showers here and there, and that, but you'll still be roasted. You'll still have the windows open. Mary and Terry Newer tells us the reason Americans have the tipping culture is because the service industry workers are so poorly paid and tips are effectively the pay. That is the thing to remember. They don't have the minimum wage in America, as unbelievable as that sounds. And of course, one of the reasons people liked Trump coming into the White House was because he promised to remove all the taxes from tips. Whether he has done that yet, he hasn't quite managed it somehow. Someone's talking about bales of hay. I thought only bales of hay combusted in Fireman Sam, says Fiona. There's not a lot of hay around anymore. And even the small little bales for the straw, they're all giant bales. You see them. I just think of the movie Final Destination when you see those giant big trailers coming at you. 51551 is the text. So I used to live in South Spain, so this person, people wonder why I came back to live in Ballybunion. It's just I would melt in the summer. And the mosquitoes. I was working, so there was no relief on the beach. Siesta time was in the dark rooms with the showers, shutters down. Do they still have that in Spain with the modern work that we're forced to do? And the nighttime, trying to cool down with spraying yourself down with cold water, sticking your head in the fridge. Give me an Irish summer any time, says Karen. I would say she's very happy with herself down in Ballybunion and Conde Cirí at the moment.